Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this bright and sunny day. I hope everyone survived the storms yesterday. I see we have another little tree out here that took a hit that we have to deal with. And for those who haven't looked, we had a tree that fell down behind the CE building that we've cut up. So it's sad to see big trees go down. I only have one announcement today, is that we have a special congregational meeting after service 24 July 2022. We'll hold a short congregational meeting to present and discuss a proposal to replace 20 slate roof tiles on the main church roof. That should be a short meeting right after service today. So hope you can stay. With that, we'll turn it over to Tom to have our service. Tom?
So can I call you if there's a tree down on my yard? Would you come?
It's my 14-inch.
Yeah, for I'll be patient. Well, that's good. That was a storm. How many of you lost power? How many of you lost power until 1:30 in the morning? Some of you did, huh? I tell you, one time, many years ago, our sump pump went out because of an ice storm. And I woke up that cold morning after, and I walked in the dark down the basement steps, and when I got to the bottom, it was that much water in my basement, a fully furnished basement. That was so much fun that I wanted to do it again, but my sump pump battery worked. The backup. I didn't have a backup battery the other time, and boy, am I grateful for the battery that backed up. So we have a dry basement this morning, but I'll have to have a nap this afternoon. Oh, I have to have a nap every Sunday afternoon, but I kept getting up, checking the sump pump, making sure it was okay, so I didn't have a basement full of water. But anyway, we're here. It's good to be here again with you today. I look forward to sharing a few moments with you after the service for the meeting. So let us look to God together. Let us open our hearts and minds and our lives, our imaginations to God as we call one another to worship and praise on this day. Children of the living God. Children of the living God. Children of the living God.
We are here to worship the God of love, justice, and grace.
And if able, we stand to sing our opening hymn, which will be on the screen. Let us join voices together.
Thank you.
Let us join together in confessing our sins before God and one another as we join in one voice to say, Lord, we confess we have not responded to our difficulties with love, but rather with impatience. We have turned our backs on others in need, placing our concerns first. We have been stressed, pulled, pushed, tossed. Give us peace, gracious Lord. Help us to slow down so that we can receive your healing. Remind us that we stand in the need of forgiveness, and then having received such love, we are love and serve others. Teach us to strive for courage and strength. Teach us how to be good disciples for you. In Christ's name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Here is the good news, my friends. Christ came searching for us, calling us by name, leading us into God's kingdom. Amen. Together, let us confess the faith of the Church and our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Give your greeting to those who are among us today. Once again, we join our voices together in song. Thank you. join together in prayer today. We are mindful of all the concerns that we've been sharing over the summer weeks, of those in various places of need and change and need of prayer and healing. Kristen shared with me her concern this morning. There will be a meeting Tuesday night with the Presbytery, I guess, to see if you are certified ready to go toward ordination. Are you certified ready? Raise your hand if you're certified ready.
I do.
All right. Well, we trust that will be a joyful and a wonderful time of spiritual sharing, and that I'm sure that you and they and we will all celebrate that you are certified ready to keep moving toward ordination. I mentioned last Sunday my brother-in-law, who was in the hospital, subdural hematoma. That's kind of a big word. It means is that you have bleeding from the brain. It gets between the brain and the skull. And it's called subdural hematoma. That's what he had. He had surgery. He went home yesterday. He has many churches and people and friends praying for him. And so we're grateful for his being home. He's got a ways to go and therapy ahead. I have my friend Susan Duncan, who's here this morning from Baden, Pennsylvania. Susan was in the congregation in Baden that I served for 2 years as interim. And we can't let each other go, and so we show up in each other's lives from time to time. And so I'm glad she's here, and we hope you'll come back again even some this summer if you're able, Susan. Susan is a walking miracle. She is cancer-free after the doctors, and yes, indeed, have done their work. And I imagine there were hundreds and hundreds of people in prayer for you, Susan. And so I know that you will always be grateful for those who held you and lifted you and blessed you for prayers to bring you to this day when you are fully free of cancer. What a wonderful, beautiful thing. There are other things that we'll be praying for today, of course, our world, our community, all of the needs around us and among us that bring us together as God's people. And so let us join together our hearts and lives in prayer. Each of us has something we need to say to God this day. In this moment of silence, make your prayer along with me. Gracious God of heaven and earth, the morning sunshine, the morning breezes, whisper and shout your holy name. The trees clap their hands to creation's songs of joy. We are grateful that you build among us, around us, and for us, this community of faith, of those who love us and pray for us and serve with us. We thank you for every person that has been an example by word and deed and by presence of your marvelous love and grace. We thank you for Jesus Christ, teacher of our hearts, who walks with us through the streets of fear and failure, always holding our hand, leading us as a good shepherd through every experience of life. And so therefore we never have need of fear, at least not for long, for your presence in Christ comes to us and leads us. when we can't pray words, when we are speechless with our needs before you. Thank you for the Spirit's prayer, lifting words that we cannot speak. When the worries and cares of our lives turn us speechless. Oh God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are so blessed. So blessed by all of your gifts. Give your peace to those who are in conflict this day. Around the world, anger, bombs falling from the sky, young and old, taken in death and destruction. And for those who are hungry and thirsty, who are homeless and helpless, for those who have no hope but you, we pray that you will bind up the wounded, bring peace and a cessation of violence to the nations, that you will be with every person this day who looks to you for help, for wholeness, for healing. Oh God, we lift our hearts to you. And we pray as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine power and the glory forever. Amen. If able, we stand once again to join our hearts and voices in song. Seated. and let us worship God with our gifts of love and devotion.
Today's scripture is 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." God bless reading.
When I am weak, then I am strong. That's as difficult to understand as the Beatitudes of Jesus, which is our map for the summer together. And now we come to this Beatitude as Jesus teaches among us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let us pray. Oh God, words will be spoken here. May every word spoken first pass before your gaze and your correction and your blessing, and then may each word find its way into our minds and hearts, that once again we may be claimed by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When I was a young lad, I remember one of my Sunday school teachers by the name of Mr. Ritter. And Mr. Ritter had a wooden leg. He had been an officer, not an officer, he had been a part of the Army and the World War II. He lost one of his legs in battle. He didn't tell us boys much about that, except this, which I have never forgotten. He said that when he lost his leg in battle, the primary experience and need at that moment was for water. An overwhelming urge and yearning, thirst, and need of water. When I hear this beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, I often think of Mr. Ritter crying out for water in his thirst and pain. Righteousness, thirst and hunger for righteousness. Righteousness is a big word in the Bible. It has a couple major parts. It's twofold in its use and meaning in Scripture. Righteousness is this word that we use to describe our relationship with God. We stand in right relationship with God. We have been made righteous. This is not something that is ours to do. It's something that God in Christ has done for us. It's called grace. God's work in Christ in our lives is a work of grace. It is a gift. We stand before God as righteous people in right relationship with God because of the work of grace in our lives. We have those old hymns that we sing about how this happens. I know that you don't know the hymn, Jesus Paid It All. You don't know that because you're Presbyterians, but if you had grown up Methodist or Baptist, you would know that one. Jesus paid it all. You see, all to him I owe. Or the one you probably know is the one that goes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then later on, that hymn says, when the trumpet sounds, I forget exactly how it goes, but when the trumpet sounds, may I then in him be found, dressed. How? Dressed in his righteousness, not yours, not mine, not any human righteousness, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless. To stand before the throne, you see. Faultless, that is to say, when you stand righteous before God because of what Christ has done in your life and mine, we stand before God faultless. We stand before God perfect. All of the broken pieces mended, all of the ugly places healed. It's God's work in, through Christ in our lives that we stand before God perfect, faultless. Not because of what we are able to do, but because of what grace has been able to do in us. And so, you know, nobody can ever look down. No one can ever look down on another broken soul. You can't do that. There is no spiritual superiority to be allowed. None of us can claim to be better, higher, nobler, stronger, more spiritual than the other. We all are beggars. We all stand before grace in the same way. And we look up in wonder to that, so we can never, you can never look down. You can never look down on another human being. We all look up. Because of what God in Christ has done for us to make us righteous. Right relationship. The Protestant Reformation was a battle for this, you see. This is what the reformers of the 16th century were all in battle about. What do we need to be in right relationship with God? Is it a partnership and we're like Social Security, where we pay part and God pays part and comes together in one piece? No, it's not that. Can you buy it? Can you earn it? Can you bring out of the storehouse of your personal goodness all of your accomplishments, all of your trophies, all of your goodness, all of your good works? Does any of that count? And the Protestant reformers were so clear. And from them we say, Christ is my righteousness. Christ alone is my gift of grace. It's all about what God in Christ has done. Faultless, we stand before the throne. Perfect. Because what God has done in Christ. And so there's this righteousness, this right relationship, which is gift. But there's also this righteousness which is on the horizontal level. For we have not only been created to be righteous in right relationship with God, we have also been created to be in right relationship with one another. Which means that every person, every boy and girl, every man and every woman in this whole world is not disconnected from my life, because it's connected to God's life, and therefore it's connected with my life. And that we are all put into a unity of brother, sister, parent, child to one another. We are all related, connected to each other. And so our relationship with one another is one in which we are servant, brother, friend, companion to each other. You see, this is what it means to be made in the image of God. And we're pretty clear. Scripture is pretty clear about what that means. We are made in the image of God, and therefore God's fullest expression of love is God's emptying himself. Theologians call this kenosis. You've probably studied about that. It's the emptying of God. 2 Corinthians that we read from this morning, and later on we'll talk about how Jesus, who is rich for our sakes, became poor. God, Christ, empties. And when we are emptied, now, we have so much to empty, don't we? I do. Don't you have so much? There's so much there that keeps us from the fullness and the abundance and the joy. Our ambition, our need to get ahead, our competition, our need to be better than, to compete with, to be better, smarter, richer. All of this stuff, all of this stuff that we think we have to have, that impoverishes us. See, this is why the Beatitudes are so counterculture. For the culture says, number one. It's all about number one. Finishing first. Being the best. And Beatitudes come to us and just turn that on its head. Flip it over completely. So that now we begin to see that in emptying ourselves of all of that junk, of all of that false claim for happiness and glory and abundance, pleasure, we empty ourselves of all of that junk, and then God's able to fill us. God's able to bring blessing. And when we empty ourselves, then you see, we give the results are up to God. It's scary to do that. It's scary to empty. It's scary to let go of all of that stuff. But then we say, God, the results are now in your hands. It's out of my hands. Whatever you want to do with me, however you want to lead me, however you want to feed me, however you want to guide me, it's in your hands now. Freed so that we can be blessed. When we empty ourselves the way God has emptied himself in love, the way Christ has emptied himself of the riches, the miracle of our lives, God fills. God truly blesses. We are most ourselves. We are most fully human when we've emptied so that God now can bring God's agenda. And that agenda, of course, is that we be in loving service, caring ministries, the forgiveness, and all of the things that people cry out in need for, whose lives are broken and empty. Everyone. There's no exception. There's no limit. It's the whole world. As John Wesley used to say, the world is my parish. The world is my church. The world now becomes our focus, and we hunger and thirst not to fill ourselves, but to be instruments. I was born in St. Louis, and so I'm a Steelers fan after 15 years, yes, but I will always be a St. Louis Cardinals fan. You understand that? Being born in St. Louis, you would understand that. And not too long ago, my favorite player, his name is Matt Carpenter, was let go. He got old and his stats fell off. You know what happens when you get old as a baseball player and your stats fall off. They let you go. They don't sign you up again. And so my favorite player was let go. He signed with another team and they kept him for a while and then they let him go. He was out of baseball. And of all things, the New York Yankees got his telephone number and called him up and invited him to be a Yankee. They've got the best record in baseball. You know that, I'm sure. Best record. And Matt Carpenter, my favorite player, who now is tearing up the league, the newspapers are calling him another Babe Ruth. He's hitting 326. It's killing me. It's killing me, you see. He could be doing that for the Cardinals. It's killing me that he's doing it for the Yankees. By the way, I'm depressed until noon when the Cardinals lose the night before. They won last night, so I'm not depressed this morning. Matt Carpenter got to New York having been out of baseball, and you know what he said? He said, "I'll do anything. I'll carry luggage. I'll do anything." He was so glad to be back in the game. Which sort of makes me wonder, isn't that how we feel in our relationship to God and one another, church, the gospel? For all that God has done for us, don't we want to say, this day, God, I'm yours. I'm yours by creation and redemption. I belong to you. I have no agenda. I have none. I empty myself of everything. I'm yours, body and soul. God, I will do anything that you call and ask me to do. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Ah, yes, they will be filled. Amen. The word having been proclaimed, we respond in faith by joining our voices in song together as we rise and sing our hymn. Thank you. Isn't that wonderful, those words? May we live that way. If you need to leave after the benediction, feel free to do that. I hope that most of you are able to stay for a very brief meeting that we'll have after the benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the joy and fellowship and power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.